Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus of California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District. Also retired professor from Compton Community College, where I taught ethnic studies, psychology, and history. And at Cal State Long Beach, I taught African-American studies or Black studies. Well, also my co-host, Joe Hembrick, longtime coach, PE teacher, and well, a high school administrator, vice principal, coordinator of student activities and everything that had to deal with youth. One of the most premier historians that ever walked this earth with regards to understanding the Maat spiritual perspective, as well as ancient history, and just a prolific reader of our history and culture. We want to thank Brother Rashaki Mascani for his contribution of letting us have this platform for a podcast, and his work and contribution, along with some of the listeners, Brother Mashinda, as well as the good doctor that are consistent listeners and courageous questioners of the Conscious Corner, as well as the Community Education Network. As the motto of Rashaki Mascani says, each one teach one. We have a very special guest today. That guest is Brother Harold Welton. He is a one of the members, if not with the leaders of a coalition, the Free, Rochelle McGee, who was has been locked down for 58 years. And he's going to tell us all about that issue, and we can, as well as the issue of political prisoners. I think Andrew Young, when he was appointed ambassador to the United States, he said that America has plenty of political prisoners. So let's go ahead with Brother Harold. He's going to tell you more about himself, more about the coalition movement, and more about Brother Rochelle McGee, and their issues and their concerns for not just Rochelle, but for political prisoners, period. So, Brother Harold, would you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, and at the same time, get into what you think is very important information we should know about what we can do for those who want to help. Contribute to the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, yeah, my name is Harold Welton. Thank you, everybody, for having me a part of the show. I grew up in Los Angeles in the projects, Pueblo del Rio projects, and the Avalon Gardens. I went to, well, three high schools, Fremont, got kicked out of Fremont, went to Manual Arts, got kicked out of there, and graduated from Jordan in the summer of 1968. I became a member of then the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, later the Student National Coordinating Committee, inspired by Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, H. Rapp Brown, Jamil Alamein. I was in SNCC until June 1969. SNCC took a position against Zionism in 69 and were defunded, if you will. 1969, the fall, I went to East LA College, became a part of the Black Student Union there. At the time, it was headed by a brother by the name of Melvin X. Melvin X. Williams, who who was assassinated in May 1970. December 1969, after the 41st and Central shootout, I became a member of the Black Panther Party Southern California chapter. And that was until June of 1971. And there was the FBI orchestrated so-called split in the party. In August of 1970, after attending George Jackson's memorial service, me and another comrade on the way home, we decided we wanted to start an organization in the neighborhood that we grew up in, which was the Avalon Garden Projects. And we called that organization the Jonathan Jackson Educational Cadre. And we had the George Jackson Karate Program. We had a reading program, free breakfast program. We would show political films with the reel-to-reel projectors at night to the youth on people's houses, walls. That was from 71 to 73. Then I started working for LAUSD in 1975. They fired me because I lied about my record. It took me a year to expunge 3 convictions. Started off as a B&G worker and retired as an air conditioning and heating fitting journeyman. And currently I teach part-time the trade online for the adult school system. I have 4 daughters, or well, I call them 4 parents now, but I love them all, but a member of Black August Los Angeles and the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee. So, can I give the backstory now of Rochelle?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Rochelle McGee was born March 17th, 1939 in Franklinton, Louisiana. When he was 16 years old, he was a cute guy. We all know that when we say the Ku Klux Klan, it could be anywhere in this place, but he was in Ku Klux Klan infested Franklinton, Louisiana. He was accused of attempted rape of a married white woman who was 23. Mm-hmm. And he went to Angola prison, a former plantation, the youngest to ever go to prison in Angola. He was captured for 7 years. He came to Los Angeles in 1963 after being paroled. 3 months after that, he was charged along with his cousin with the robbery of a $10 bag of marijuana and alleged kidnapping of the, as we used to call them, dope dealers. He went to prison in California. August 7th, 1970, 17-year-old Jonathan Jackson, armed, went into a courtroom, and his political military move was to free what was called the Soledad Brothers. George Jackson, Fleeta Drumgoole, and John Punchett. They were accused of correcting a guard, if you will, in January of 1970. That occurred because there were 3 new African prisoners that were killed on the San Quentin Yard. And that was Alvin Miller, Jane Cleveland Edwards, and W.L. Nolan. About a week after that, a guard was found corrected in retaliation for the murder of the 3 prisoners. A note was pinned to his uniform saying, "One down, 2 to go." Maybe a week after that, George Jackson, Fleetie Drumgo, and John Cluchet were indicted for allegedly correcting this guard. And a movement developed out of that. Angela Davis was a primary figure in that, Free the Soul of that, brother. Jonathan Jackson, he became a part of that movement when he was 16 years old. Okay, so we go back to August 7th, he goes in the courtroom and takes it over, and he was armed. And he said, Free the Soul of that, brothers, by 12:30. He gave weapons to those that wanted to get free. And one of them was Rochelle McGee, James McClain, and William Christmas. When they came out of the courtroom, they were martyred with the so-called prison mandate, never to allow prisoners to escape. And in doing so, the guards martyred, they killed a judge and wounded a district attorney and three other jurors. So a month later, Rochelle was charged with conspiracy to murder, and aggravated kidnapping. Angela Davis got the same charges for allegedly supplying these weapons. Well, because there was a mass movement and Free Angela Davis, Angela was acquitted of all charges. Rochelle was acquitted of two of the charges, conspiracy to murder and murder. And it was a hung jury in the first trial on the aggravated kidnapping. Well, during the second trial, the state said that, well, if you don't cop to the aggravated kidnapping, we're going to charge you again, right? So unwillingly, through his lawyers, alleged lawyers at that time, Rochelle pleaded guilty to aggravated kidnapping, but he withdrew the plea. And ever since that time, Rochelle has been petitioning the court, filing writs, basing his reason for participating in the August 7th rebellion. He based it on Senkew and Tume, who was kidnapped from the motherland in the early 1800s. Him and his comrades were captured, Senkew, were captured near Cuba and were brought to this place, and they were charged with different alleged crimes. Eventually, their case went to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court in that trial said that a slave has the right to rebel. And Rochelle has been basing his petitions and writs on that he had the right to rebel because he was illegally captured before the case that he was charged here in Los Angeles. What are we doing, the coalition? We've got over 32,000 signatures to release Rochelle McGee, plus last count was 1,700 plus petitions directly to the governor. And we also have, I think, 1,200 letters that go directly to the governor's office. Right now, we're focusing on clemency. We're having people in different formations and organizations pushing to have Rochelle's case brought to a clemency. And I don't know if I said this, we met with the governor's legal staff twice. And they wasn't talking about nothing. And the district attorney down here, and we haven't challenged. They want to see his record in prison, and we haven't challenges getting the record. But again, right now we're focusing on clemency and people being aware of Rochelle, all political prisoners. But Rochelle McGee is one of the less, I hate to put it like this, not like he's in competition, but he's one of the lesser known political prisoners in this part of the world. So we've been pushing that. We've been working with different formations. And last week, BLM, and I hope we were able to do it, BLM is going to pay for us getting a billboard put on up on Slauson near Overhill, near that 7-Eleven close to Simply Wholesome. So we've been communicating with Rochelle. Rochelle still has that fire. We're trying to focus on Rochelle. Rochelle, keep that fire when you get out. We're trying to get him out. And then, you know, be Rochelle. But Rochelle is 82 years old. He'll be 83 in March the 17th. We did research. We found out that the average time for murder in California is 45 years. So we look at the political nature of Rochelle McGee, 58 years and counting, 59 soon, for aggravated kidnapping. So that's where we are now with Rochelle.
Right. Man, that was deep information and detail. We're going to start with Brother Mashinda. Mashinda, you have any questions up to this point? Brother Mashinda?
All right, good evening. Yeah, I'm like you. It's real deep, you know. Appreciate Brother Harold coming on tonight, letting us know what, you know, what transpired, what's going on. You know, they like to salute the military all the time, but Brother Harold, I wanted to thank you for your service, you know, your input. You know, a lot of times the soldiers that came before us don't get their credit, you know, but, you know, I'm familiar a little bit, but you're making me more familiar with what's going on with that. And that little town you was talking about, Franklinton, I'm very familiar with Franklinton. Right now, I'm standing probably about 25 minutes from Franklinton right now.
All right. Okay.
So you know, I've been on the yard at Angola about at least twice, you know, on tour, of course, never had to serve myself. But, you know, like you say, life's not over. You know, you can be railroaded into all kind of obstacles, but you know, that's it's real. You know, you know, some people think, oh, it's a conspiracy theory or this, that, and the third, but you know, but I respect what you're saying. And like I say, that, you know, the prison system is an enterprise. You know, it's not only enterprise, it's a, you know, it's a you know, it's a machine that's in place. You know, it's an extermination machine, you know. And but anyway, you know, I want to continue to listen to what you have to say, and appreciate you coming on tonight.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, brother Machine. Well, the good doctor.
Yeah, I agree with Machine. Very interesting story. You know, I heard of George Jackson and some of their brothers. And I was just looking up the Rochelle brother here, kind of trying to get more information. I'm just curious. You think he said 58 years? One, I want to know, why was the parole denied each time he went? And it's kind of funny because I know for a fact one of the females from the SLA got paroled out back in 2007, 2008.
Right.
I know that for a fact. I know that she got out, and I'm sure how she got out, and he did get out. And you know, the SLA, I think, was, you know, they were a terrorist group before we know what terrorism is now.
Right.
They were the big terrorist group back there. And a lot of cops died on the street, the Patty Hearst thing, and she got out, and why he didn't get out. You know, so hopefully go more into details. So stay listening.
All right, John. If we can go back to August 7th, 1970, I don't like to say Marin County, but for lack of better word, Marin County, slave rebellion. The move that George Jackson's younger brother, Jonathan, carried out was very profound. You have a 17-year-old armed to the teeth going inside of a courtroom and making that type of move. He wasn't crazy. He wasn't drunk. He was very focused. Well, at that time, there was a photographer there, and he saw what was going on. And they asked Jonathan and the others, could they take pictures? He take pictures, and he said, yeah. He said, we are the revolutionaries. And you probably have seen the pictures. And it was very profound to see that happen. And this was before metal detectors in courtrooms, et cetera. Then again, this is George Jackson, author of Soledad Brothers and Bloodline, uncompromising in the way he organized and the way he his understanding of struggle and liberation is, he was uncompromising. So his brother was martyred August 21st, 1971. So all, and then the activities around Angela Davis. And we look at the fact that here's, again, we talked about the SLA. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, one of the Manson girls was paroled. But Michelle was up for, has been up for parole 18 times, his last being in July of last year, and he was denied parole. And the theme was, well, there's still a possibility. His 82-year-old man, who we believe is on a walker, the possibility of a threat, right? But it's political. We believe that we know that the guards this guard association are making moves to prevent that. And judges in California. The footnote on us organizing, we've been organizing the coalition since 2019. In March of last year, we had tri-city protests here in Los Angeles, Marin County, and Sacramento. Oh, and then up in Northern California, I can't think of the name of it right now. And one of the soldiers involved, he had been in prison, and he was arrested for being on prison grounds. Vacaville, where Michelle is held, that's where it was, Vacaville, without the alleged permission from the warden. Well, he got charged with that. And through discovery from his attorney, we found out that the guards, they have what so-called prison intelligence unit. The guard intelligence unit said that the coalition was terrorists and disgruntled, the whole nine yards, right? Eventually, the brother was freed on the charges. So we know for sure that the guards are pushing to keep Michelle, well, to kill him, let him die in prison. And the judges, you know, they know each other. They know each other. And again, Michelle did not kill the judge. The guards killed everybody and the Marin County Sheriff. So it's political, what George talked about in his book, Blood Mind, talked about the prestige and power and you Africans challenging that. And again, the dynamics of what Jonathan did, you know, that's what they're looking at. And I want to make a footnote on Michelle in the courtroom that day. There's a book called Soledad Melancholy. There's Michelle on the far right. There's a book called Soledad Melancholy. And Michelle, during the political military move, some of the individuals in the move wanted to take a wife and husband and their child hostage. And Michelle told them, no, let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. And we pointed that out to the governor's legal staff. And so, yeah, it's definitely 100% political. We don't want this man out of prison, but we feel that if we can bombard this governor, don't know if he's going to run or not, but maybe we can get one of those, I hate to use the word Christmas clemencies at the end of the year. We're currently, Ms. Angela Davis wasn't speaking up about Michelle, right? We're going to have a virtual rally on the 19th of March, 2 days after Michelle's birthday. And Angela decided that she's going to be a part of that. And we were happy about that because Angela has that voice that she can carry, you know, talking about her co-defendant, Michelle McGee. That was a political prisoner virtual rally February the 1st. And this is the first time that I've heard Angela speak about Michelle in years, right? It was short, but the fact that she spoke about it, the fact that she's gonna be part of the virtual rally is positive for us. And if we can get her to speak up more about Michelle, I think we can put that his case out there, especially in California. California tends to be sometimes overlooked in terms of political prisoners. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm not in competition with that. Matter of fact, Jaleel Butikin was on that virtual rally, and he spoke about Michelle for about 15 minutes. And we want to get brother out. Brother essentially has been locked up for 67 years, if you don't count the 3 months that he was out of prison when he came to California, 63.
All right. And thanks a lot for that.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to Brother Hembrick, Brother Joe.
Yes, sir. Yeah, appreciating you, Brother Harold, with all the information you were giving. Seems like all this, you know, we just had someone allegedly of African descent in the White House. Seemed like a pardon or something would have been given. You know what I mean?
Right.
Brother B. been in that long, man.
Yeah.
I say, I don't think of too much that he did for our people anyway while I was in there, but he could have slid that one on too.
That's right.
Spend that much time in there, my goodness.
Well, it was fair. Obama couldn't do a pardon for a state crime. He was charged with state. If I'm not mistaken, is that correct? Because he did his time in California prison. Is that correct?
His
state. So it took the governor to pardon.
Yeah, his charges. Yeah, his charges in Louisiana, the state, and the charges in California, state charge. But again, Michelle did not murder anybody, if you will. He's only in there, if you will, for kidnapping. And again, in our research, the average time in California is 45 years for murder. And here you have a man that 83 in March. You know, so we're pushing that. And again, hopefully we can, we have some, man, we have a lot of young people in the coalition. Matter of fact, they're the ones that developed the website. And we're trying to see if we can get one of their generation celebrity, if you will, to speak out about Michelle. What's her name? Rihanna? Yeah, the hip hop artist Rihanna. She spoke out. I forgot the sister's name, little young sister that killed a trick in Kentucky, I believe. And Rihanna spoke up about her case. And it just blew up in terms of the attention, right? And little sister was released from prison. I can't think of her name right now.
Breonna Taylor was the girl.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh.
Yeah. In Kentucky. Louisville.
Yeah.
No, not.
Right.
But you have some more questions?
No. So is this case dependent on the California state courts or the Louisiana or both?
This case is California. And one of the things Michelle is focusing on is, again, Los Angeles. Matter of fact, most of his focus has been on Los Angeles because, again, Michelle was, his name is Michelle Sinque McGee. And he's basing his case on the right to rebel, right? The right to get away. And as he states over and over, he said that, one of the things that they were doing during the August 7th move was to find a radio station. And he wanted to talk about the illegality of him being held in prison because of this conviction down here in Los Angeles. Once again, he was charged with alleged robbery of a $10 bag of marijuana and kidnapping of a musician who we knows if he's still alive. This musician talks about the fact that he didn't outright say it in court, but they were in competition over a woman at a nightclub, you know? And we suspect that 3 months in the California, Los Angeles, because LAPD beat him when they arrested him, right? Our suspicion of that is because they had his record in Louisiana, the reason why they moved on him like that for the $10 bag of marijuana and the alleged kidnap of somebody he knew, that this so-called kidnap, the car they were in did not move anywhere. But anyway, We suspect that 1963 Los Angeles police were like, man, this dude was charged with the attempted rape of a white woman, right? So let's punish him. Again, this white woman was married. She was 23 years old. And at that time, the brother from Frankenton probably knows this, at that time, all of us, at that time, Africans couldn't testify in defense of Africans if the situation was involving white people. But his cousins insists, and I believe that Rochelle knew the woman.
You have any more questions, Joe?
No, that was
all right, Rasha Key, are you available?
Yes, I just wanted to ask him a few questions about the what I was sharing on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Is this this right here? Is this the website?
That's the website.
Okay, good, good. So people can still sign the petition?
Yeah, and if you would, could you sign, because it's two petitions, could you sign the letter to the governor and the petition that goes directly to the governor? When you go to sign the petition, you'll see both of them. Here, there it is, Action Network. It goes directly to the governor. If you can scroll down. And you can also write, Rochelle, you know, we're asking people, don't be political, just be, contact the district attorney and contact the governor's office. Is the number there? Yeah, we want people to call. Now, I want to focus on calling this governor, and that's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. And again, we want people to be direct and to the point, clemency, right? And there's the petition to sign the .org, change.org petition. And if you want to make a donation, that's the donation button.
Okay.
Uh-huh, that's it.
Okay, well, good. Now, so you were saying that he had charges of kidnapping, and it wasn't the during the trial when Jonathan Jackson went into there, and that wasn't the kidnapping charges.
No, he had kidnapping charges here in L.A. The alleged kidnapping and robbery of this musician for the $10 bag of weed. Again, Rochelle knew his cousin and him knew the person, and we researched it. And there's a great possibility that Rochelle knew this individual, and they were competing over this woman. They were at a nightclub, right? And he was convicted of kidnapping down here, but there's a lot of legal questions to the supposed kidnapping down here and how that trial was conducted. Again, without a doubt, I would imagine, and we believe, I should say, that these Frankenton minded LAPD, the district attorneys, and all those in 1963, they weren't looking at the kidnapping of this drug dealer. And I say drug dealer facetiously, but they weren't concerned about it. We believe they looked at the fact that Rochelle was charged with alleged attempted, meaning he didn't rape the white woman. He attempted to rape this 23-year-old married white woman. Now, I wanted to put another footnote on that. This happened in August of 1955, the year Emmett Till was tortured and lynched. And so that was the atmosphere in which he was under when he was captured, if you will, for this alleged attempted kidnapping of a 23-year-old white woman who was married. And Rochelle was just 16 years old at the time.
Okay. Now, this picture right here.
Uh-huh.
Is this the picture you were speaking of, the famous picture?
Yeah, there's several others, but if you look to the far right, that's Rochelle.
With his hand on the judge, right?
Yeah. And the judge, uh-huh.
This was a hostage situation, right?
Right, right. And as I said, the guards, they have the policy, no hostages. Everybody dies. Now, we found a transcript of Angela Davis's trial. And it had a sergeant, somebody, with San Quentin, right? The attorney asked him a litany of questions concerning hostages, right? And he started off by saying, and I don't think I have the right numbers, but I'll put it out there. He said, what if it was five women, two children, and the guards? Would this policy exist then? Yes, it will. So the attorney asked about four questions concerning, but he kept raising the number of children, women, et cetera. And this attorney, I meant to say this San Quentin sergeant, he said, yeah, that's our policy. Meaning, yeah, we'll kill kids and whoever else, you know, if they happen to be in the way.
Heavyweight.
Yeah, that's the lawyer that did that was, he was a famous, I want to say Leo Branton. It was another New African lawyer, but I'm going to take a chance to say Leo Branton, who was famous down in Los Angeles, not famous, but known to be a good lawyer in Los Angeles. And I think Leo Branton asked those questions, but that's, those are from some actual transcripts that were in Angela's case. In addition, there's a speech that she made here at the Embassy Auditorium and when she was freed in 1972, when she talked about that. You know, Sergeant Mooney, that's his name. And yeah, so. Hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did, Professor Rock.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. First of all, I want to say asante, which is thank you for your work and your efforts to
asante to you, yeah.
And the coalition's effort to bring this case to light and to and you know just the you know it's hard to get people to work for other people other than themselves,
right?
And when you do and what you're doing. I already signed the petition. I'm gonna have to go back and see when I signed. And I did give a you know small donation, but I'm gonna try to get some more. The questions I have are just to get bring out more information. Now you say y'all are planning a rally.
Yeah, webinar. Actually, it's going to be a webinar, but we're calling it a virtual.
A webinar.
Webinar, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's going to be when?
That's going to be March 19th, 12 Pacific time.
Is that a Saturday?
Yes. And you can find it on Twitter and Facebook at the Coalition to Free Rochelle McGee.
Okay. Anyone besides Angela is going to be speaking?
Jaleel Muti King is going to speak.
Who's that?
Jaleel Muti King, who was released about almost a year ago. He was in what was called there's an action the Black Liberation Army carried out back in the day. He was freed about, like I said, a little over, less than a year ago. Then we're going to have Chairman Fred Hampton and let's see, we're going to have we're trying to get Dr. Gerald Horn to speak. We haven't got a confirmation yet. We have a lot of speakers. You see, thank you. I'll send you an email of a list of speakers that are going to be on the webinar, right?
Yeah. The other question is, at the courthouse, George Jackson wasn't there.
No, George wasn't there.
So what, did they give Jonathan misinformation or he was just going to hold them people until they released George?
Right. There's the story, if you will, that they were going to take off a plane. At that time, people were doing that, right? And land in a country to get asylum, right? But they, overall, they were bringing attention to the Soledad brothers and the injustice of what was happening. Now, I'll give you an example of the Soledad brothers case. One of the major evidence that they had on George at the time was he was the only one that could have done it. You know, eventually, Fleeta Drumgo and John Clouchet, they were freed. The Soledad brothers were acquitted. And Comrade George was assassinated August 21st, 1971. And all right. The alleged reason was he had a gun, right? Hidden in his natural, the most watched prisoner in the state of California at that time, handcuffed, shackled at the legs as well, coming back from a visit in San Quentin, allegedly pulled the 9mm, which is about what, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, 5 ounces, pulled out the 9mm out of his natural and start shooting guards. And then he made a desperate move, they say, to jump a 14, 15 foot wall in San Quentin. Again, he was the most watched prisoner in the state of California. George was very brilliant in terms of the way he organized in prison. He was well respected by not just African prisoners. George was respected across the line, you know. And so again, Jonathan, he was bringing attention to the case. And it was, like you said, free the soul of that brother by 12:30. Yeah, there's Comrade George Fleeta and John Clouchet. John is the only remaining living person.
Now, the other question is, at the time that according to he made a movie about this and they had a Rodney Cash and Bernie Casey,
right,
played George and thing. But let me just get back to this question. I think they said he was coming from a visit with his attorney.
Right.
And they accused the attorney of getting them the gun. They never could. I don't know what happened to that case.
Well, the attorney went on the ground, and he was captured maybe in the late 80s, I think, 87, and went to trial and was acquitted. Now, there was a woman that was with them. I can't remember her name. Her first name might have been Vanetta. And she allegedly brought in a tape recorder, right, in the high security San Quentin prison with a gun in it, right? And the prosecutor, the police, nobody talks about her. Nobody in terms of, I shouldn't say nobody, but the powers that be, they don't say anything about her. Nothing. Mystery, and that's not conspiracy talk. That's real. Again, a good book to read is Soledad Melancholy. It came out in the 70s. And he went into extensive research on her and nothing. But now, I was telling some people the other day, we went to a screening of the movie Malcolm X. And you know, you hear these people talking about what's wrong with our democracy as far as Trump, right? What's happening to you? Your democracy, like Elhaj Malik El Sabazi, it's never been no democracy for us. Political assassinations, and I'm just talking about the late 60s, 70s, political assassinations have always existed on African freedom fighters here in this country, this place, I should say. And just recently, Elhaj Malik Shabazz, all these so-called, although they're dead, so-called assassins were exonerated in, I think, late last year. They were exonerated for the alleged assassination of Elhaj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. And then I want to say also, if you ever, well, you can Google it. There it is. That's right. If you ever Google in Gene Roberts, you slash Malcolm X rally, wherever, where he was assassinated, he was given Malcolm artificial respiration, right? And this same, he was a member, and it's not conspiracy, he was a member of the New York Police Intelligence Division called BOSS, Bureau of Special Operations, Special Services, if you will. There was a conspiracy trial waged against the Panthers in 1970. They were all freed in 72, I believe. He was the main undercover operator for BOSS, who helped set the New York 21 up. They were all freed. Jury didn't deliberate over an hour. Asada Shakur, who's still alive, she was not necessarily a part of the New York 21, but they moved on a case on her around that.
She's in Cuba.
Yeah, that's right. Also, Feeney Shakur, Tupac's mom, she was in the New York 21. In fact, she had, she was pregnant, and she birthed Tupac into this world while she was locked up. So yeah, political assassination in this country is nothing new. And I'm relating that to you watching it. I call them the public relations firms for white supremacy, the news media. You mean, what is wrong with our democracy? Your democracy has been doing what it's been doing since time immemorial. I mean, yeah, we're immemorial too. In memorial, we've been doing attacking people and attacking countries and killing people. You definitely enslaved people for 480 something years. And you're the smallest country in the world. Well, one of the smallest countries in the world, 5% of the world's population. You had more people in prison than anybody in the world and on probation and on parole.
All right. Another question. When Brother Rochelle was arrested in L.A. and accused of the weed and kidnapping robbery for the $10, wasn't his cousin with him or somebody else was with
him? Yeah, his cousin was with him.
What happened to him?
His cousin was convicted, but his cousin was paroled. Yeah.
You know how much time he did?
I don't recall, but I don't think it was over 5 years, if that.
Okay.
They separated, they severed the trial, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it was over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm speculating, which we could get information on that some kind of way. We're trying.
I'm just asking if you knew. The other thing is that at the time of the courthouse incident, Rochelle got shot, didn't he?
And
got
that's wounded. Right. That's yeah. Right.
So how did that go? Because they said he was in the hospital for a little while.
Yeah, he recovered well. And in fact, there are some of the photos, if you see them, Rochelle in court, those photos were like in the late 1970s or in the early 71 when Angela Davis was still in the trial. So he was able to move around. Go ahead.
And you were, and according to some of the writings that was posted, he became very active in the prison. Helping people with their cases.
That's right.
He helped win a lawsuit for somebody the way he was beaten or killed by the police guards and got a settlement for the family. Will you talk about that for a minute? Do you have
okay,
any?
That's true. I can't remember the brother's name right now, mm-hmm. but he defended, he didn't defend him. He got, won a lawsuit for the family of the brother that was tear gassed in San Quentin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Rochelle, legally, he has a great legal mind. Mm-hmm. Some of the arguments and petition writs that he did, you would think that it was Johnny Cochran or somebody, you know, some of the writs that he did. They just denied a writ he did in, January 2020. It was to the California Supreme Court. And again, it's political. This man was accused of being involved in one of the most dynamic political military moves in the spirit of Nat Turner.
Excuse me, can you repeat that terminology, the writ?
Writ, yeah, writ of habeas corpus, where you have roughly 60 days to file an appeal on a conviction, right? And if that 60 days lapse, then you can only file a writ of habeas corpus to point out discrepancies, prejudice, and different illegal things that happened during a trial, in addition to new information that may come up, like somebody confess, I did it, right? And the writ is based on that, you know. So the writ essentially says, I'm filing to get a rehearing on my case, right? And most writs fail because the courts in California, especially, they like with the judges in terms of Rochelle, they rarely grant rehearings or recalls on sentencing. You know.
In the other, as we conclude, as we, you know, first of all, again, we're gonna this week gonna be on this information gonna be on YouTube, and then I'm gonna post a flyer on my Facebook and try to get as many people interested. If 58 years is enough for anybody,
that's right.
No matter what they did. You right. know, I mean, unless he was a psychopath and out killing people. But he's done a lot of good work in prison, according to the writings, and helping a lot of the brothers file their papers and just, you know, he's been there, you know, for a good while. So he has the respect and leadership. What about the BGF? What role did they play? The Black Guerrilla Family.
Black Guerrilla Family. A lot of people think that the Black Guerrilla Family was formed during the time of George Jackson, right? Which it wasn't. George talked about, I met the Black Guerrillas, Tony Gibson, et cetera, right? W.L. Nolan. But as far as all the things I researched and being involved at that time, well, matter of fact, I didn't hear about the Black Guerrilla Family until like the late 70s, early 80s, right? So I don't think that there was any connection. Well, I know there was no interconnection with Rochelle and the Black Guerrilla Family. Again, that came about when my first awakening to that was in the late 70s, maybe early 80s, the Black BGF, Black Guerrilla Family.
Okay. Rochelle talking a lot about slavery.
Yes.
And equating the prison as a slave
right.
institution. Could you just elaborate on that, and then we'll see if there's any closing questions by any of the panelists, and then Brother Rashikir tell us about next Wednesday, about this coming Wednesday. But go ahead.
Okay, well, Rochelle says 400 years of slavery then, 400 years of slavery then, slavery now. Again, Rochelle based his move on August 7th on Senkeu and Toume, who escaped, well, they carried out a military action on the slave ship that they were on. I hate to use the word slave, but for lack of a better word. And they commandeered the ship, and they ended up near Cuba. And they were captured, and they were brought to the United States, this place. And after years of going through the courts, the United States Supreme Court ruled that Senkeu and Toume and his comrades had the right to rebel because they were slaves and they were captured as slaves. So Michel McGee bases his case on the fact that because of the Los Angeles conviction, the illegal conviction in Los Angeles and the discrepancies, a whole lot that went on during that trial here in Los Angeles. He contends legally that he had a right to rebel. He wasn't a part of the original. Well, let me clarify that. A lot of people say that there was supposed to be somebody up there with Jonathan, right? I believe if there was somebody to be up there with Jonathan, Jonathan would be alive today because somebody would have told him. I think he carried that action. He's reading his brother, the way his brother wrote. Nobody knew. So Rochelle didn't know about the rebellion, right? But Let's think about it. With his case, all of them, James McClain, William Christmas, with the way they were treated in prison, they saw his brother come in the courtroom and they said, those that want to be free, I'm handing you weapons. And they took the choice, you know? And only mistake they may have made is they underestimated the viciousness of the San Quentin guards who didn't care about a judge, you know, or anybody else.
All right. Well, okay. Again, we want to thank you for the
excellent
presentation. I'm going to go around again. Machine, you have any closing comments? Are you still there?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, brother. And
thank you, brother.
I'll be doing some more research on it. Okay. And again, thank you.
All right.
Brother Mashinda? Brother Good Doctor?
Same with Brother Mashinda. Yeah, get information. I just want a question. Karen Bass and all these other people, have you reached out to them, see if they'd said anything? Are you looking for, I'm pretty sure Newsom's going to try to run again. Have you tried looking to see who, you know, is going to run up against him, reaching out to see who's going to be new governor? And that's it, Karen Bass, and reaching out further to see if anybody else is going to run for the governor, reaching out to them, any front runners.
Yeah, we have reached out to them. We haven't gotten a response back. We've sent emails out to Karen Bass and others, and we haven't gotten a response back.
Good effort.
Yeah, if they could speak out and put the word out there, yes. Can I ask a quick question? The brother that teaches for LAUSD, what school are you at? I'm not being too personal.
I'm retired. I was at, if you're talking to me, I was at Centennial.
Oh, you're Compton, okay.
That folks with Fremont, Manual, and places you talked about. And I also got to give props to my project, Normand Terrace. I grew up with Normand Terrace project.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Shoot, I remember down there at the hamburger stand, these brothers killed this white boy. They've been out a long time.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, when you speak to the power structure and, you know, they get a, get a thing on you, they ain't gonna cut it loose like a bulldog on the bone.
That's right.
But it sounds like the brother's been steadfast in, you know, what he's been doing since he's been locked up. So get out by you know, jumping, being Christians, you know, they grab that Bible and can get out and go to a few Bible studies meetings.
And Brother Joe, you got any more comments?
No.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking to the brother then. But anyway, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you.
Listen, Brother Shell, again, in conclusion, you got my number.
Yes, sir.
Is there anything we need to announce or anything that you want to appraise us of? And if you want to come back on the show again, just give us a call.
I sure will.
And if any of your panelists have anything else they want to add concerning political prisoners or just critical issues that the coalition is involved in.
Right.
And we're going to push the fundraiser and the petition signing as much as we can, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Main thing, let's call that governor. Let's keep him awake at night. All right, brothers.
Okay, Harold, you're gonna be on the CEN show too. So he's coming back, right, brother Harold? Show I do on Wednesdays.
This Wednesday?
No, I'll give you a call because I think we scheduled you for a date on that on that show also.
So we can
talk further about it and get more information if possible. And yeah, I appreciate this information. Very, very great information. And we all gonna support what's all going on here. So let me share the screen. We got a matter of fact, I'm not gonna share it. On Wednesday, we have my youngest daughter coming on, and I'm gonna interview her, and I'm getting questions from members of the website and other people. So that should be interesting. She's about to go to college. She's got accepted to 4 different colleges so far. She's waiting on Long Beach State, and that's the school she wants to get in. That should be interesting. And, you know, it's open to the public. Harold, you can come anytime. It's open.
Okay.
We're on at 6 on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Right.
You know, if you want to join us and you know, do what we do.
Okay. So,
each one teach one.
Each one teach one.
And Conscious Corner.
All right, Conscious Corner. Brother, I would like, how many daughters do you have?
I have five daughters.
Get it right.
Hey. Well, I got one is my stepdaughter, but I got 5.
That's all right. That's your spiritual girl. Look.
That's right.
Bless your heart. I got 4.
Okay.
So you know what it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and end it.
All right.